It's time once again to take another look at your health. It's time for Fitter Happier.
Fitter Happier. A program about your health for your health.
With summer approaching and the weather hotting up, many of us are turning our attention to sun, sand and surf. With an increase in water activity, however, we also need to increase our awareness of water safety. And there are lots of different risks areas of concern. Each year in WA, an average of 4 young people aged 15 to 24 will lose their lives to drowning, and a further 10 will be hospitalised following a non-fatal drowning, with alcohol often a significant contributing factor in these incidents. Young children are also at risk, with an average of 4 children under 5 drowning each year in WA. The good news is drowning is preventable, and here to tell us how is Russ Milner from the Department of Health's Injury Prevention Team. G'day, Russ.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming back on the show.
Happy to.
Excellent. Now, first off, what are the stats on drownings and water-related injuries here in WA?
In Western Australia, Chris, in the last financial year, our stats tell us that 42 drowning deaths were recorded within Western Australia, which is 42 too many, obviously, because, yep, as you said, drowning is preventable. And as I said last time I was here, about 7 weeks ago, we tend to like to say that all injuries are preventable. So you just need to follow the right strategies that we can give you to help keep safe around the water and enjoy yourselves, because, of course, that's what everyone likes to do around water. We're a water-loving community in Western Australia, so lots of people like to spend time around the water, but we just want them to do it as safely as they can.
Sure. Now, what are some of the factors around the incidents and these stats? How are people drowning? What, do we have a clearer picture of what are some of the contributing factors are in this?
Well, it depends on how you slice the data again and the different age groups. So we have specific programs, which hopefully we'll talk about this morning, looking at toddler drowning safety, water safety and drowning prevention programs, which is different, of course, from sort of risk-taking young adults, where sort of drugs and alcohol tend to play a role, and peer pressure, that sort of thing. And then, you know, as you sort of get to older Australians, you know, you have a lot of people who may have done their swimming lessons training when they were younger. They might have got their bronze medallion shiny on the wall or in a drawer tucked away somewhere, and they did that when they were 21, and now they've had a great life and they're sort of enjoying retirement. They're out boating, and they sort of think maybe that they can swim better than maybe they could once again. So the different sort of circumstances are different, but you'll find that a lot of the prevention mechanisms remain the same.
Is a factor that I guess that might be constant in all of these things the fact that when we're talking about water and water safety, I guess what we're really talking about here is recreational activities, and maybe our frame of mind, what we're thinking about at that time, because we're undergoing recreation and not maybe our jobs or work or whatever, is maybe a bit more lax in that way?
It can be. I mean, people like to spend time around the water to relax, and it's an enjoyable atmosphere. And often, you know, complacency sets in and people don't think as much about safety as they are thinking about having a good time. So there is always that risk. So being aware of your surroundings, being aware of your strengths and limitations, being aware of those strengths and limitations of the people around you is very important as a community message. But yeah, absolutely, there's a lot of people who are spending time around water looking to have fun, but we want people to remain safe as well.
I guess understanding the conditions of where you might be swimming are also, you know, obviously a factor. If you're swimming in an ocean or a part of the ocean that has, you know, a notorious rip, for instance, or, you know, a fast-moving river, these are things to take into account as well.
Absolutely, and that touches on what I said before, whereas depending on the different sort of age and demographic that you're in, what you're doing is going to be very different. So a toddler in a bathtub in a swimming pool is just as at risk as, you know, you could take someone who's, you know, 18 years old and out having a surf in you know, treacherous circumstances. And again, you know, the older Australians who might be out boating or spending time, you know, on the river, which we all like to do. But again, those circumstances change, but you just need to be safe doing
it. So what role does alcohol play in the stats among some of the older Australians?
Alcohol increases the risk of pretty much all the injuries that we deal with, but in particular with water, it tends to be linked to about 30% of drowning deaths that we see.
That's quite a lot.
It is, and hopefully, you know, your listeners won't be too surprised to sort of hear the usual things that alcohol does. You know, it impairs your judgment, it sort of increases your risk-taking, you lose your sense of balance, it makes you I guess, think things through clearly is what you'd ideally do. But when you sort of had a few cans, that goes out the window very quickly.
Yeah.
So, alcohol is a huge risk factor. And it's not only a risk factor for the adults, you know, hopefully adults who are consuming it who might drown themselves, but, you know, picture being in a sort of a barbecue situation just at a house.
Yeah.
If all the adults are drinking and having a good time, it's very easy to get complacent about where are the kids, what are the kids doing, are the kids in the water, and who's watching at all times. Because I've said before, complete and total active adult supervision is hugely important for looking after young people. And again, if you're drinking and socialising, even, you know, it might seem like it's, you know, you're doing it safely, but it does divert your attention from where it often should be.
Absolutely. Now, do you want to tell us about the Don't Drink and Drown campaign?
Would love to, and it's a particularly good time of year with summer approaching and Leavers Week in particular. So the Royal Life Saving Society of Western Australia for us deliver the Don't Drink and Drown water safety program. It's been running for a few years now, but it's essentially just raising the awareness of, and we give these programs a pretty obvious name, not to drink and drown, but also recognising that drowning's not just fatalities, but it's also people who survive and are hospitalised but often have long-term brain damage complications or spinal cord complications. So it's not just the deaths we're talking about. For every death, we see about 10 people hospitalised with long-term complications stemming from that. So essentially what we want with the Don't Drink and Drown program, which is targeted to 15 to 24 year olds, so it's that risk-taking demographic who are often, you know, for the first time being exposed to drugs and alcohol, like to party, like to have a good time, get a bit carried away, but don't always, again, sort of think through the safety messages that they need to. So in terms of some of the key messages that we'd like that demographic to remember is know your limits in terms of your swimming ability and your safety around water, but also your drinking limits. It's very easy to tip over that, and then, you know, the world becomes a very strange place when you're absolutely, you know, well beyond your drinking limits. Only swim during the day and in well-lit areas, so that will help other people keep sight of you, but also, you know, if you're swimming at the beach or in rivers, streams, creeks and dams, you can sort of see better what might be lying underneath the water in terms of sort of hitting your head and spinal cord injuries. So never swim alone. So again, so people can see you and hear you if, you know, if something's starting to go wrong. And as a non-swimmer, you know, look after your mates. So if you're not in the water, keep an eye on the water, keep watch, which is the name of the other program that we'll talk about. But look after people. And if you know someone who's, you know, had too much to drink or have taken some drugs, steer them away from the water, exactly the same as you wouldn't let them grab the keys and go for a drive. Keep them safe around water.
Fantastic. You're listening to Fitter Happier on the MAG on RTRFM 92.1, and this week we're discussing water safety with Russ Milner from the Department of Health's Injury Prevention Team. Now, Russ, you mentioned one of the other campaigns there. Do you want to give us a bit of a rundown on the Keep Watch campaign and any other campaigns that we should be aware of for water safety?
Keep Watch is a fantastic program that we've been running for a long time now, and it focuses on the water safety of toddlers. So we tend to focus it at 0 to 4s inclusive, under fives, who are hugely vulnerable around water, because obviously they don't have the swimming ability or the awareness of their environment, their surroundings, to keep themselves safe. So we call the program Keep Watch, and while it's targeted at preventing drownings in that younger age group, the program itself and the messages that we're sharing is targeted to adults, parents, carers, friends, aunties, uncles, anyone who's around you know, that those children and water circumstances. So the program's been running for a long time, and unfortunately we see on average about 4 toddlers drown in Western Australia every year. Tragically, in the last 3 weeks we've had 2, both I think were 2 years old, and both were in backyard swimming pools. So what we try and do with the Keep Watch program is give people 4 layers of protection and defence to keep kids safe. So the first one, obviously, is keeping watch. It's active adult supervision at all times with kids around water. Now, that's whether it's backyard swimming pools, bathtubs, beach, rivers, anything. If you've got little kids around you and there's water, active adult supervision. Keep watch of them. Stay within arm's reach.
Yep.
Be sober. And don't take your eyes off them. If you do that, that's the first and most important layer of defence.
Sure.
Secondary to that, so the second layer of defence is restricting children's access to water. The obvious example of that, of course, is the mandatory backyard
pool fence.
Yeah. But maintaining them, making sure that the self-latching doors stay latched, that the barrier or the fence is safe from all avenues. So often you'll sort of have them on the perimeter of the property,
yeah,
and someone else's fence tends to get ignored, like the fence between your property. But if they've got a large tree and they've got kids,
and they can jump
and those
over.
Kids can climb, yeah, the tree, and then they can get over. So make sure that all barriers of that fence are doing the job that it needs to do. Make sure the latch latches, make sure that there's nothing sort of propped up next to the fence that kids can scale and climb. They're amazing little creatures. And also, if you're having a party where it sort of seems like, the latching door is open, close, open, close, open, close, wouldn't it just be easier if we prop it open? Never do that,
yeah,
because it completely makes the fence.
We might as well not have it there, right?
You might, yeah, as well not have that's it, right, if people, yeah, can just walk through without having to unlatch it properly.
Yeah.
That's the second layer of defence. If everyone's staying with me here, the third layer of defence is water familiarisation for children, so essentially swimming lessons, but targeting the 0 to 4 age group. We don't really call them swimming lessons because there's not too many kids in that demographic who are going to be competent swimmers,
yeah,
but taking them to water familiarisation classes that slowly starts to build their competence and their awareness and their confidence.
Yeah.
Around water is a very important building block to eventually getting them to a stage where they're safer swimmers. And then if all else fails, if those first three layers of defence have failed, the fourth and final layer of defence in this program is learning CPR,
yeah,
and resuscitation. So if worst comes to worst, hopefully you can be on the scene quickly and resuscitate a child as quickly as possible, and hopefully with a great deal of success.
Well, it's obviously a really important issue and something we really need to all be aware of, I think, whether you've got kids or not. Being in such a sun-loving and bright and sunny place in Perth here, water safety is important. Russ, thank you so much for coming on to the Mag this morning.
Absolutely.
And give us some insight into that.
Thanks, Chris.
This has been an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is an independent community radio station that relies on the public for financial support. You can subscribe online at rtrfm.com.au/subscribe.